Now, our focus with the fiscal cliff drama has been on taxes with good reason, but there is a healthcare component here. I talked about that with Susan Dentzer, editor-in-chief of Health Affairs Journal. We looked at the fallout and the impact of the CLASS Act, which is now going away.
Unfortunately, now we have to use the past tense. What was the CLASS Act? The CLASS Act was designed to set up a voluntary system under which Americans could contribute during their working years so that as they got older, if they had trouble with the normal activities of daily living, like walking and eating and so on, they could draw down assistance to actually use money to stay in a nursing home or receive care in their homes. Now, this part of the Affordable Care Act came under very harsh criticism from Republicans in particular, who viewed it as a dangerous, new, and costly and unfunded entitlement. And the Obama administration actually had moved to shelve the provision in 2011 after it also concluded that the way the law was written really did make the program financially unworkable over the long haul.
So where do we go from here? We have elderly parents, grandparents, people dealing with chronic illnesses that need assistance. Are they just out in the cold?
They do have the Medicaid program still, but of course, as we know, you have to spend down a lot of your assets in order to qualify for Medicaid. So there really is nothing for the middle class who want to retain a lot of their assets to help them except to go out and purchase their own long-term care insurance on the private market. The problem is that market just has not been very appealing for people. It seemed to make more sense to the framers of the CLASS Act, particularly the late Senator Edward Kennedy, to have this program run through the federal government. At this point now, all we have is yet another commission that has been set up as a consequence of the fiscal cliff legislation. And that 15-member panel is supposed to look again at the problem, develop a plan for establishing some kind of system that coordinates the availability of long-term services and supports, and then see what happens. Actually, under the legislation, the panel doesn't actually have to do anything but report. It's not clear that the White House has to take it up. Congress has to take it up. So we're going to have another commission looking at a problem that has been unfortunately well documented. Not a lot of solutions at hand.
Were there people already benefiting from the CLASS Act before all this happened?
No, it was never implemented. The administration decided not to implement it. It felt that the way the legislation was written, it could not implement it in a fiscally sound way. And the administration also concluded it did not have the authority under the law to make the necessary changes to make it able to be implemented. So it's never gone into effect, despite the fervent hopes of many who really wanted to see some program put in place to help middle-class people with these kinds of needs that may develop over time.
As these things go, is this a major blow to the overall health reform law?
It's only a major blow in the sense that some of the long-term financing of the Affordable Care Act was predicated on the CLASS Act. The CLASS Act was going to pull in a lot of money for a number of years before it actually started to pay out to people who would benefit from it. So a little bit of the funding, in essence, goes away as a consequence of not collecting contributions from workers. But it's not a fatal flaw. The Affordable Care Act is clearly moving forward independent of it. It really is more a function now of forecasting the long-term disability needs that the country is going to face. We know we have a lot of aging baby boomers who have very high rates of disability. They're coming forward in large numbers. And at this point, again, other than Medicaid or private long-term care insurance, there isn't much available.
Let's finish with what you have new at Health Affairs this week.
A blog post by one of our regular contributors, Tim Jost of Washington and Lee University, on the latest set of regulations that has come forward about implementing provisions of the Affordable Care Act. This one was released last week, and it's a regulation from the Internal Revenue Service about the so-called shared responsibility for employers, that is to say the employer mandate provision of the Affordable Care Act. So if you're an employer out there who's wondering, gee, how do I count whether I've got 50 employees or fewer than that, or whether I'm a large employer and how am I subject to the employer mandate, this is a great place to start.
That is Susan Dentzer. She is with Health Affairs Journal, the editor-in-chief there. Read more about what she was discussing at the end at WTOP.com. Search Health Affairs.